To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Holy hole in a donut!
Hey guys.
I never said thank you.
And you'll never have to.
We're bad guys. It's what we do.
Let's put a smile on that face. I'm Batman.
Welcome to another episode of Gotham City Central, a Batman podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam, and with me this episode is my co-host, Ryan. Ryan, how's it going?
Well, you know, the last time we talked, the world was a little bit of a different place. Mm-hmm. Now it feels like we're living in something out of the Resident Evil video games. Mm-hmm. But besides all that, I'm okay. How about you, good sir?
Doing all right, trying not to watch much of the news because it's quite scary, as you as you pointed out. And, you know, just as I said on one of our... it's not up yet, but I gave all the warnings, you know, and all the stuff regarding the virus on the Green Lantern, the second episode of the Green Lantern podcast that may or may not be up by the time this one's up. But, you know, I'm following the rules, doing what I'm told, and trying to stay as safe as possible. So that's what I'm doing on my end. And in the meantime, trying to enjoy some entertainment, whatever's available in terms of entertainment, so I'm reasonably well, even though, you know, I'd like for the time to come when we start getting past this and things can go to somewhat more of a normal routine. However, I thought let's at least keep bringing the podcast to the listeners to give them whatever enjoyment we could provide. If we provide you enjoyment, that's great. Also, that may be a totally acceptable reason to see a doctor, just to make sure you're okay because you find that's enjoyable. But I wanted to bring some positivity to the listeners and give them a distraction. So we're going to continue the podcast because we can do that from home thanks to technology. And I thought we should do something fun and funny tonight. And what better way to do that than cover the first season of the Harley Quinn animated series? So, Ryan, a general thought. What was your general take on the Harley Quinn animated series?
I mean, I remember all of us watching, you know, but by ourselves, we didn't do a watch party, but all of us watching that first episode of the first season and being a little surprised at how violent and sweary it was. But it got so comic book ridiculous and cheesy. I think it's a work of genius. This was a show that I watched a lot, that I watched with Joe. And you know, it just has so many good bits. It's so funny. It uses characters so well. We'll get into specifics later, I'm sure. Yeah. But I think it is, for me personally, it's probably second to Titans when it comes to new content, original DC Universe app content. You know, go on.
Yeah, I think it's one of my my favorite products from you know, the DC Universe Avenger, along with Titans being, you know, those are my top two programs from DC Universe. In terms of the animated series in and of itself, I thought it's probably one of my favorites for a DC animated show. It's up there with the likes of, it's in the conversation. I mean, I haven't put an order to this or anything like that, but, you know, it's up there with Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Justice League, and Young Justice. So, well, I just rolled off, what, four? So
the big four, yeah.
Yeah, this is in the top five of the series for me. And it's just... The one thing I'll say is it's different from the animated versions of Hardy we got before,
mm-hmm.
but it's still very true to the character of Harley Quinn. If that
yes.
makes sense.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
It very much is in spirit with both in terms of the writing and the animation. It's very much in the same vein as the Amanda Conner and Jimmy Palmiotti take on Harley. That's what I see a lot of. But also, like you said, I like the way they're using certain characters in the Batman universe, or the Batman corner of the DC universe. You spoke to the violence, and boy, is that evident right off the bat. No pun intended. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first episode, you know, where she and Joker.
A little bit of a delayed reaction, but right off the bat.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
Because, you know, Harley Quinn thinks that Bruce.
Fornicates with cats. That's her joke often. Her running commentary. Right from the start, you have Joker and Harley kind of holding up the yacht. And the way Harley takes out some of those people, I mean, busting kneecaps, blood everywhere. But it's blood along the lines of a Quentin Tarantino movie.
You know what I mean? No, I never thought of that, but yeah, this whole series is a look at what a Tarantino or Rodriguez would do with Harley Quinn.
Now, one of the things I want to get your thoughts on is we see moments where Harley wants to, you know, be her own person and be independent. But she's really not at that stage yet, because even when she separates from the Joker, she has a whole team with her. How do you think they balance that?
Well, because they probably also wanted to use the show to kind of... I think it's, if I'm understanding what you're asking correctly, I think it's like its own weird, twisted way of like, okay, the Birds of Prey movie, that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, Black with Canary, Huntress, Renee, all that, but we have Harley as kind of like the RN character, to be the focal point, yes, but to also give all these other characters a chance to shine.
Right.
I think they wanted to do that with the team, with the animated show, but with some lesser known villains. I'm not saying Poison Ivy is among them, but like, you know, Psycho and Clayface. You know, King Shark.
Right.
Not, you know, let them, you know, have their moments. For God's sakes, this show made me care about Kite Man, who I think my only exposure that I can remember to this character beforehand was the Lego Batman movie.
Right. Well, my exposure to Kite Man before this was Tom King's run. So, you know, that wasn't a good experience for me. But before we get back to Kite Man, and I will touch on him. Who was your favorite standout member of Team Harley?
King Shark, without a doubt.
Mm.
Because, you know, this is a character that I'm familiar with in the comics, obviously, from the, you know, the Arrowverse TV shows. And this is such a radically different version. It's one of those, you know, strokes of genius, I think. You know, such a brilliant reimagining of this violent and brutal character who does have those moments.
But yeah.
It almost seems like, you know, that's who he was at first, but it's the character that he is when we're first introduced to him. It feels like that was like some sort of attempt at rehabilitation. But, you know, whenever he like smells blood, that's when the animalistic, violent, you know, and I don't want to say persona, but, you know, personality comes out.
Yeah.
But it just has, you know, so many good one-liners, so many good moments.
He does. And like I said, I like that balance they strike with him between a violent character when he gets in those moments, but really a calm, kind of a pacifist type of character who doesn't really want to go that far if it can be avoided. I think my favorite member of Team Harley is probably Clayface. They really hype up the actor persona of Basil Carlo and the you know, the struggling actor. You really get a sense of that. And I love how everything he does is over the top and Shakespearean. Everything is a performance.
Everything, yes.
And I really like the performance of Alan Tudyk. I think, you know, I like him as an actor, but consequently, I haven't really liked some of the DC stuff he's been in. So, you know, Doom Patrol wasn't my cup of tea. And I really didn't care for what was that other show with the Clinton, you know, the the other show with Alan Tudyk, the one where he played Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Oh, Powerless. Okay.
I really didn't care for that, but you know, this performance has got to be my favorite Alan Tudyk DC work.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
To the point where there were times I didn't even recognize that was him.
Was he doing the Joker too?
Yeah.
Well, he did Joker and Clayface?
Is he Clayface? Hold on. Because I definitely know he is definitely Joker. I know that. Hold on.
Did I get it wrong? Is he not Clayface? Because I want to give credit to whoever is Clayface, but
to the internet, we are.
I mean, Alan Tudyk did a great job as Joker. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
And what an absolute, you know, jackass Joker is too. I mean, you really see his attitude and the way he uses Harley in this.
He is the voice of Joker, Clayface, and Calendar Man.
Okay, so I did get it right. Yeah. Yes. And it's funny because he's so different as Joker and his playface. Yeah,
to the point that I didn't even know that he was the other two.
Well, there you go. But yeah, so that's my favorite member of Team Hardy. But literally, I think every character works and they mesh so well. Like you were talking about Psycho. His intro and what he calls Wonder Woman when he calls, I mean, like, I get that there was swearing and violence in this show from the game, but when I heard that, I'm like, oh, they're going this far now.
And I love that he, you know, it's so ridiculous that there he goes on a talk show to talk about it and apologize for it.
Yeah,
I'm like, this is so absurd, but I love it. I'm going along for the ride.
Yeah, you're right, but it's the absurdity that really makes the show work. Let's see. What did you think of the portrayal of Jim Gordon and Batman?
I absolutely love that Commissioner Gordon is an alcoholic in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I do not. There are some people I know that think that, oh my God, anything that's not exactly like the comic books is character assassination. No, we can have fun with these. I know that some people in this fandom don't like that, you know, three-letter word, but we can have some fun with, you know, Elseworld stories. You know, not everything needs to be exactly the same. So, but portraying this Gordon as an alcoholic, I thought, I think it played so well into his relationship with Batman, which, once again, Diedrich Bader doing an absolutely phenomenal role. This is, you know, the much more, I wouldn't say darker, but much more serious version of his Brave and the Bold Batman. You know, I just love the relationship, and I don't mean it in the way that some people probably are thinking when I say relationship, but the fact that Gordon is clingy and needy for Batman, and you know, Bruce acts like he's the loner, but he also needs Jim too in his life because they were real close, you know, at the start of Batman's career.
Yeah.
It's another one of those things that, you know, I may not be the best at describing why, but I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I think, look, it is certainly, especially where Gordon is concerned, it is a departure from what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
But in saying that, if you think about Gotham City and the inhabitants that Jim Gordon has to deal with, that kind of environment would drive somebody to drink.
Oh yeah, I can definitely see that.
So as ludicrous as they portray it, and over the top as they portray it, I think, you know, there's something true about him getting to that level. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes.
And who does it? Christopher Maloney, I think, is the voice? I'm making you go to the internet quite a bit.
Oh, my God.
Man of Steel alum.
Oh my God, don't even start. Yes, Chris Maloney.
I couldn't resist. I like his portrayal. Like you said, there's that, they need each other. Again, not in a relationship kind of way, but Mm-hmm. Like that romantic kind of way, but as friends, you know what? And I do like how Batman, despite how reluctant he is to show it, does it. You know, Harley makes him admit just how much he needs Gordon and that friendship. So I did enjoy that. I also really like the dynamic between Harley and Ivy.
That's something that I know a lot of people have been wanting to see start getting adapted outside of the comic books, myself included.
Right.
And we're recording this with the knowledge that they were going to start to explore that aspect of the relationship in more. Season two for Harley and Ivy, you know, to start becoming a thing. I was not expecting it to happen in the first season. I figured that would be something they would build up to, and
right.
But I. This is probably the nicest I've ever seen Ivy ever portrayed.
Yeah, I mean, she's still got that ruthless determination to mm-hmm. protect plants. So that's still there. But you really see her open up and befriend at first Harley and really sort of take her under her wing.
You know, and try to help her and show her that Joker isn't good for her and that he'll mm-hmm. never care about her the way that she wants.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's very much a big sister, at least to start. Big sister, best friend kind of mentorship that evolves. Mm-hmm. And you see it slowly evolve.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where there's a point where you kind of sense that Harley and Ivy are both kind of they acknowledge it, but kind of try to sort of push it to the side by distracting themselves. So Harley's become so focused on becoming a member of the Legion of Doom. And mm-hmm. Ivy has this little relationship with Kite Man, as you alluded to. By the way, making Kite Man an absolute pervert is probably the only way you're going to get that character over with me.
It's probably the first time the character's ever been interesting.
Yeah, exactly. To the point where wasn't his room number 66, but the one of the sixes.
Yes. Yes.
Fell the second six. 16, yeah.
Oh my god.
That was hilarious. But no, so when you see sort of Harley and Ivy pull away from each other and then, you know, come back together, and at the end you kind of get a sense of, okay, this is slowly developing. The development of the different stages of their relationship, I think it went through a natural progression as opposed to, at least for me, as opposed to starting right out of the gate and saying we're a couple and overemphasizing it to the point where it's already in place and they're saying look, like it's almost like they're purposely saying look at us and winking at the you know at the screen, like kind of how Supergirl does it. You know, so I really like the progression and how it just became a natural evolving relationship.
Mm-hmm. Like it started off as, you know, you would think it'd just be like occasional fling between the two, but then yeah, it actually over time, you know, over the weeks that the show was going on, it developed into something where it's like, at first I was like, okay, let's just get rid of Kite Man. But I actually got, you know, not invested in him like I did with, like, Ivy, Harley, mm-hmm. King Shark, whatnot. But, you know, I...
Yeah, actually, I kind of felt bad for him because I knew where they're going to go.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I know he's going to be, you know, for lack of a better phrasing, tossed aside.
Uh-huh.
So I felt bad for him, as opposed to like somebody like Richard White, right? From Superman Returns. So I was like get lost. Get lost, dumbass. You know.
At least, you know, it was, they actually make you care about the character in a way that I'm sure there are some people that, like, okay, you remember seeing the pictures of a theater when Suicide Squad came out, and there was, like, three or four guys who, you know, claimed that they were the hardcore Slipknot fans. I'm sure there are people like that for Kite Man. Mm-hmm. At least Kite Man got more screen time than Slipknot.
Yeah. And that's pretty sad for Slipknot. You've now fallen behind Kite Man, my friend. I gotta say, so I did like where they're going with the Harley-Ivy relationship. I love Lake Bell's performance as Ivy, like her vocal tones and, you know, at different time when she has to be mean and villainous, she can be. But there's that, there is a softness and a kindness to her. And I really got to say, we got to talk about Kaley Cuoco as Harley, because I love how Harley's voice changes depending on who she's interacting with.
Mm-hmm.
So when she's interacting with the Joker, she puts on that traditional, more traditional Harley Quinn voice, because that's what she assumes that he wants. Whereas when she is talking to Ivy or members of her crew that she cares about or that she grows to care about, there again, softness is not the right word, but she's more open and more authentic, if that makes any sense.
She's more genuine with them, where her feelings for Joker are, you know, real, but it does feel like she's putting on an act.
Right. And I gotta say, like I said, I was, as you know, we covered this on a previous episode, where I said I was kind of unsure about how Kaley Cuoco would do in this role, because I know her from Big Bang Theory, and she's so recognizable from that. But I gotta say, she did a lot of work with her voice that made me forget who was doing the voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a couple moments like that too.
And I'm surprised with how many times she teamed up with Batman. Like, you know, how many, like, you see her teaming up with Batman. That was that was impressive, and that was fun. You know, like they maintain the even though it's a wildly over the top kind of take, they maintain the relationship of Batman sort of having a soft spot and feeling sorry for Harley.
Mm-hmm.
And her kind of being open to working with Batman because she knows that when it comes to the Joker or larger, you know, schemes that are more troublesome, that he's going to do what's right for all involved and for the benefit of Gotham City. So I've always liked their kind of interaction. And I think that's very true to what's come before, even though it's heightened in this show. What was that? You?
No, I was saying I agree. Yeah.
So
you know, one of my favorite interactions between the two was after the second betrayal, and she, you know, she's falling out of the helicopter. I think this is when Batman flies in on the Batjet and kind of uses it to capture her And he just kind of like looks up at her and it's just like, he will never care about you.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's, you know, there's something within Bruce that, you know, maybe doesn't see the potential in Harley to be a hero, but he knows that she is nowhere near as bad as Joker.
Right. She knows that if he almost feels that there's redeemability within her, mm-hmm. whereas Joker
to
is
a,
almost
to a degree, lost on, yeah, too. To a degree, yeah. Oh yeah, there is a potential at redemption for Harley, where right. Joker is he's been far, he was long gone.
Yeah, it's by too the far time gone.
Oh yeah.
Another character that, I mean, we'll talk about certain episodes in a sec, but another character that I really absolutely loved was their take on Bane. So, and I'm not sure who did the voice for Bane.
Bane was someone by the name of James. I'm gonna say
hi. That's okay, butcher.
James Ottomian.
Okay. Well, I don't know who he is before this, but I gotta say, he is fantastic as Bane, because what they've done is, so the art, the animation style makes him look like, you know, comic book / Batman and Robin Bane.
Mm-hmm.
But the vocal performance is 100% a parody of Tom Hardy from The Dark Knight Rises. And Ryan, like, folks, we're living in tough times. You want to laugh? Just turn on every Bane scene from this first season, because you will laugh hysterically.
He is one of the best supporting villains. Oh my God. I love he is just so obsessed with blowing things up.
Yeah, like it's a fetish for him. Like, you know.
Exactly.
And it's like he gets so like but again, they play it like he gets so upset when, for example, didn't somebody finish the pot of coffee? And that was so upsetting. Mm-hmm. He was so bummed out. Or yes. At the bar mitzvah for Penguin's nephew. Somebody finished, like, who was it? I think, was it Scarecrow? Somebody took his plate of food. And he was so demoralized and sad. And the emotion coming out of that Tom Hardy, you know, impression.
Yeah.
Was
I'm gonna blow something up.
Yeah, it was just it was absolute gold, folks. I mean, it's.
Oh my God. I mean, if you're gonna do an animated comedic take on all these characters, that is how you do Bane. You can make him look like the comics version, but you gotta throw in not just the Tom Hardy voice. You got to make it a full-on parody of the Tom Hardy voice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... He... Like I said, to me, he's not part of Harley's crew, so the non-Harley crew characters on the show, Bane steals every scene he's in. Hands down.
Uh-huh.
So... Let's get into some of our favorite episodes. So give me one of yours.
One of my favorite arcs throughout the season was everything involving Queen of Fables. Played wonderfully by Wanda Sykes.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a character that I thought they were going to keep as just the textbook, you know, in her textbook form. But... Oh my God, I gotta know, is this a character actually from the comics?
I'm pretty sure that it is.
I'm looking this up right now. Wanda Sykes, where are you, Wanda?
It has to be.
Wanda Sykes says, you know, there was, based on, yep. She first appeared in JLA number 47. created by Gail Simone, Brian Hitch, and Mark Wade. Thing is, I'm pretty confident that the comic book version was nowhere near as bloodthirsty.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Oh my god. When she unleashes the wolf onto the family picnic.
Yes, yes, that was gruesome.
Holy hell.
That was incredibly gruesome, you're right. I did like her, and like her vocal performance, I think, really makes the character. Like that's one of those ones where I think if you put a different person in the
it wouldn't be the same.
Right, yeah. All right, so I'll go next with another one of my favorites. I really liked finding Mr. Right. So Harley's on a quest to find, you know, a nemesis. And that whole banter with Robin.
Oh my god.
With Damien, and she's like, oh, you're a little shit. I don't want anything to do with you. And there's the moment where she interrupts. I think it's within this episode. I don't know if it's banter between Harley and Riddler or Joker and Riddler, where she interrupts. Yeah, it was Harley, right? Where she interrupts. He's staging like a taped sort of, like, he's basically doing a monologue, and he's sending it to the TV stations, and she interrupts his big monologue. That was hilarious. But I really had a laugh with all of her interruption of or her interaction, sorry, with Damien. That was gold. Because, you know, we all know what kind of a character Damien is, and how he can get under people's people's skin. And so that was entertaining for me. Do you have another one that you want?
I can't remember all the details of the episode, but it was when they went back. They were trying to find out who this, like, anonymous online critic was that kept bashing Harley in the group. Mm. And they find out that it's the son that Psycho had with Wonder Woman's villain, Giganta, which, oh my god. The tallest woman and the shortest guy.
as
a couple, yeah.
That almost felt like something you'd see on a Seinfeld episode.
Is that a compliment? Because I'm not the biggest Seinfeld fan.
It is. I love Seinfeld.
Oh, okay. All right. I just want to see, like, is that a compliment?
I could literally watch Seinfeld until the cows come home, even though I've seen...
To me, that's The Office and Golden Girls, which I'm on a recent binge watch of, that I found out after I found out that all the whole series is on Hulu, and now I feel bad to Jason and David of DC on Screencast after they very excitedly gave me a viewing order for the DCAU stuff, because All right, I'm ready to voluntarily hand in my DC fan card. I haven't seen a lot of Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, or Justice League. I've only seen a handful of episodes each.
Yeah.
And on the same day that they gave me, very enthusiastically gave me a viewing order, I found Golden Girls, and I did not go with Batman and Superman for my
The good thing is this podcast will force you to watch those. So
it'll happen
out of necessity, folks. So don't worry, your list will get watched, folks over there at the what was it, DC on Screen?
DC on Screen, yes.
Yeah, it'll happen. He'll have to do it regardless of that. But
see, I'm telling you, it's gonna happen. Once I'm finished with this, I'm gonna watch that. And you're like, oh no, sweetie, we're gonna force you to watch this. You have a choice.
Yeah. And listen, we're locked in for God knows how long. You're watching that. Things are getting watched, folks.
We'll get to it at some point. I do want to watch it. I have ADHD. Okay, my mind bounces to it.
I was gonna ask you if you watched or if you read the tie-in comic to Batman the Animated Series that just got released, but I forget that.
No, I'm waiting for that to be physical. Oh wait, I'm gonna be waiting a while.
Yeah, you know what? We're in a happy space right now, so we're not gonna go there because that's very depressing. But
what are we talking about?
Yeah, another one of my favorite episodes was the one where they go into Hardy's mind.
Oh yes, that was a good one. Yes,
it was very Inception like.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. And
yeah, I can see that.
But the cool thing is, like, you see how like, for the people that think, oh my God, Harley and the Joker is something I stan, you really see how disturbing that relationship is. And how destructive it is. And, you know, Harley's subconscious, the Harleen Quinzel portion of her, kind of snaps her out of this romanticized version of Joker and shows her what really happened. Because, you know, she had maintained that she accidentally tripped and fell into the vat of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realize that it was the Joker that forced her into the mat, right? So it really does a good job of showing how destructive that relationship is. And also, I think that's the starting point where Harley starts becoming an independent person. I think, you know, that's going to, yes, she's got a crew, but I'm talking about, you know, just appreciating herself a little bit more and becoming self-conscious. I think that's going to happen over the course of the series. It's not going to be something that happens overnight, but I think that that was a starting point. And it was a really kind of intense is probably not the right word, kind of, but you get what I mean. It's a very character-driven, you know, introspective episode, and I really dug that. Also, the funny commentary about her childhood crush on Frankie Muniz, and he pops in for like a 2-minute cameo. It's kind of funny.
Briefly going back to talking about like the Joker Harley relationship. One thing I'm really looking forward to in season two is like the tease at the end of season one, obviously with Gotham in ruins and she's like Queenpin. Mm-hmm. Is that I'm really looking forward to seeing the Harley Joker dynamic with Joker now being reverted back to a quote unquote normal guy, however you describe that.
Mm-hmm.
And just see like are the roles it by season's end, will the roles have been reversed? You kind of get what I mean.
Mm.
Like, I wonder if they're going to do something that's maybe borderline similar to the Telltale Batman games, where Harley is the criminal mastermind and the character who becomes Joker is the one that's kind of like the accomplice and going along for the ride up until a point. So
yeah, I could see that would be an interesting spin for sure. Before we continue with episodes, I gotta say that two other characters that really made me laugh were Jason Alexander. I'm thinking of his character on Seinfeld. The landlord, the old man in the wheelchair, bionic wheelchair.
He was good, yeah.
And Frank the plant.
Frank the plant, who is, you know, Audrey too. To me, that was like, oh my god, he's like Audrey's cousin from Little Shop of Horrors.
yeah. He was like, every time he was on screen, I was choking with laughter.
I do want to quickly bring up about other characters is that in the same way that Teen Titans Go to the Movie finally gave us Nicolas Cage as Superman, mm-hmm. even just as a brief cameo, this show, in its own way, it finally gave me a fan casting come to life with Lex Luthor. Do you know who Juan Carlos Esposito, who he is in real life?
Yeah.
From Breaking Bad. Yeah. I have, ever since I started watching Breaking Bad 6-7 years ago, maybe the first time I watched it, I've always thought that he'd be a fantastic Lex. So thank you, Harley Quinn, for giving me Juan Carlos Esposito as Lex Luthor.
Yeah. He was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he like that sleazy kind of two-faced
mm-hmm.
business.
The only reason why he invited Harley and her gang to join the Legion of Doom was because they really wanted Poison Ivy, not Harley. They wanted
and that was a whole big thing of you know, Harley had to decide
mm-hmm.
what was more important to her, being part of the Legion of Doom or Poison Ivy and the crew that she had come to form and be a part of.
Another one of those like ridiculous parts of the show is how bureaucratic the Legion of Doom is.
Yeah.
They have to have a board meeting to discuss evil plans and funding for evil plans, and there's a department for hiring, you know, henchmen for, it's just ludicrous. Mm-hmm. And I love it. This is stuff that you can get away with in animation.
Yeah.
That I think you could also do live action, but it's just you can get away with it easier in mm-hmm. cartoon form.
Sure, yeah. For sure. Again, it speaks to the over the top kind of ridiculousness mm-hmm. of the scenarios, but it works. You know, they find a way to make it work. The pair of episodes I'm going to mention this one. The episode, it's called Bensonhurst, where Harley goes home.
Oh, I was going to bring that up. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
You got it first. I got another one. You take this one.
Well, I just really like because they in depth it goes into Harley's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And you see you know how much of a an ass her father is. You know, it's part of the reason why she is the way she is because of her parental upbringing. And you see kind of a lot of parallels. I mean, it's not exactly the same relationship, but there certainly are parallels where You know, Harley's relationship with the Joker kind of echoes Harley's mother's relationship with her father. Because Harley's mother pretty much defers and goes along with whatever the father does and wants. And so I found a lot of like overlap with those two relationships.
Yeah.
And like to the point where her father wanted to for her to fix one of her gymnast competitions to come in second. And then later on in the present day of the episode, he's the one that puts a hit out on her. Or
no wonder Harley's, you know, messed up. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a really, I really enjoyed that episode because, like I said, of how far back it went and gave us a peek into an aspect of Harley's life that we really haven't got that much of exposure to.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something very fresh in that regard.
Yeah.
What was another episode you wanted to mention?
You went deep in character, you know, character study and emotional, and I'm going to go like swing the opposite direction. The second episode where the newly independent Harley and Ivy, they want to, you know, right from the get-go, make big names for themselves. So they think that they're going to rob a bank, you know, the big bank of Gotham, and only to find out that that's where Penguin and a bunch of the other villains are hosting the bar mitzvah for Penguin's nephew.
Yeah.
I just giggle every time I've seen it. I just giggle watching the two of them walk in with the, you know, with the tiger on the leash, and they think that, you know, it's just that they don't know what they're walking into, you know what I'm trying to, and it's just the shock. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was, there wasn't one. I don't think there was one episode that I can say I didn't enjoy.
I can't point to anything that I really disliked. I don't think there are any bad episodes.
Yeah, and again, I find myself for whatever reason gravitating towards the more emotional episodes, because there's the one where Ivy seemingly dies.
Which I was not expecting that.
Right, it was a total shocker. Wasn't it the second last episode?
Yeah, it was the penultimate, yes.
Yeah.
And that was something that I didn't think that they were going to also fix, like, kind of right away, either. I thought that'd be something that would be maybe a plot point of season two or something.
Yeah, and I think why it works is because it was a double surprise. First in the fact that they killed her, and the second is the fact that they brought her back right away. Because with this show, two things became clear. It can go its own way, so they can do what they want. And I had a feeling that Ivy'd come back, but again, because they did it so late in the game, I thought it was going to be something they stretched out into season two.
We didn't even, you know, unless I missed something, we didn't even know there was going to be a season two until like right after the finale aired. So it's not
I don't think it was overly specified. You're right. It wasn't something that was specified beforehand. So you're right in that aspect, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just how it was kind of Harley's sadness and tears had a hand in bringing Ivy
where we're going all Pokemon the first movie.
I never thought of that, but yeah, that's kind of that's kind of bang on. Yeah,
I'm laughing not that because it's stupid, but it's just it's a little cheesy. But I can just go along with it that the power of love brings someone back.
Yeah, it's but I mean it's cheesy, but it works, and like I find myself rooting. I'm not shipping. Let's make the distinction. But rooting for Harley and Ivy to go full-fledged relationship because they've done, like I said, it wasn't a rushed playing for publicity kind of angle. It was it felt like a great, honest, true-to-life progression. I mean, obviously over-exaggerated because it's Harley and Ivy and the situations they're put in, but like a true-to-life progression of a friendship turning into something more that just happens to be happening between two women. Mm-hmm. You know, Batwoman does that well as well, the TV show. Not to harp or beat a dead horse, but unlike Supergirl, which is, look at Alex and Jimmy Olsen's sister. Look. And you know, it's winking at the audience. You know, that to me is when it doesn't work because it's representation and that's great, but it's also, it feels like a publicity stunt. More so than it's something that's just evolving naturally. And that's when I find that it works. And I think it was excellently done throughout the course of the first season. And then, you know, and the reason why I said that I'm surprised that they brought Ivy back was because, you know, in the last episode, don't we have Joker? And I probably forget because of what happens to him in the finale, but we have Joker, you know, he captures Batman, but also pulls off his mask, revealing his identity.
Joker does. This is one of my...
Scarecrow does. But
Scarecrow does. That pisses... Because Scarecrow wants to know, but then Joker is like... You know, no, you took the fun away from it and kills Scarecrow right then and there. I don't think Scarecrow's going back.
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
No. But the fact that he I don't think the power of love is going to save this one.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah. He's shit out of luck. You know, the fact again, they have an out for Joker to forget. But the fact that Joker found out that Bruce Wayne was Batman was surprising to me. I didn't expect that to happen. So, you know, kudos to them for...
And then he asks Bruce, I put down like a down payment on an electric car. Where's my car, Bruce?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it was a Wayne Enterprises prototype.
Like hybrid car or something. Oh my, it's just fun. Just all these, so many little moments that were, you know, I'm going to have to watch again to pick up on everything.
Yeah, at some point, I mean, I'll probably do a two for one kind of night where I watch the finale and then jump into the premiere of season two. That's my plan. But is there any other episodes points that you want to pick up on?
I don't think there's a standout or something. I do. How do I want to word it? Maybe not necessarily an episode or, you know, character that one. I'm looking forward to, you know, thinking about going forward to season two.
Mm-hmm.
at some point, I'm thinking that Harley's going to try to take advantage of the chaotic world that's left behind. But she's going to need to get the Justice League out of the book of, you know, the Book of Fables.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be very interested to see how all that plays out. Like, I have no insider knowledge. I'm kind of predicting that there's going to be, you know, a Justice League Harley team up episode at some point, just to try and get things back to the way they are. I guess we'll see. Cause
I could see that. And also we have, Catwoman is coming on to the show in season two. So that'll be that'll be fun.
Catwoman, Batgirl. The one I'm looking forward to the most actually is Mr. Freeze, played by Doc Ock himself, Alfred Molina.
Yeah.
I was so happy when that was announced.
Well, I actually always thought he'd make a pretty good Freeze. If they ever did it in live action at the time.
Because you could kind of see a little bit of Freeze in how they did Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2, because that version of Doc Ock is a hell of a lot more sympathetic and likable than the Doc Ock of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when done right, Mr. Freeze, you know, can be, you know, yes, a dangerous villain, but also one of the more sympathetic and heartfelt ones.
Yeah. And I think Alfred Molina could pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In droves. But I wonder if he's going to do some kind of, much like they're doing with Bane, where it's part comics, part parody of what happened in Batman and Robin. Because that would be extremely entertaining.
Oh my God, let's have Alfred Molina throw around some ice puns.
Yeah.
I will gladly welcome it, because why not? we're not going for super serious here.
This is the show where it would work, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm.
Where I'd actually laugh at it instead of wanting to, you know, throw popcorn and my drink, in later years when I had to rewatch it for a review for a version of this podcast, I wanted to throw my computer out as the movie was playing. Here's where I would welcome it and laugh at it. I guess before we give a kind of a rating on the season as a whole, I want to say that I didn't know what to expect, but I was immensely pleased with what we got. I think if you're gonna put an R rating on a Harley property, this is the way to do it, and this is the platform to do it. This is why this works, and isn't a hindrance to the show. Whereas, you know, by contrast, where Birds of Prey and the Phantasmal Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, the R rating might have been a hindrance. You know, there's a difference.
And there, you know, if that, there really wasn't. I love Birds of Prey. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But to piggyback off what you're saying, the finished product that we got did not deserve an R rating.
Right. Or didn't warrant it, if anything.
It didn't warrant it. Not even with Cyanus exploding at the end. Yeah. You know, maybe that's it. Maybe that was the little inch that had them cross the line. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when, you know, thinking back to, oh, we want to make, we're committed to going out of our way to make this, you know, Birds of Prey movie, you know, Harley Quinn movie and R-rated, I was expecting something more like the cartoon show. Mm-hmm. But, you know, live action. But I still love Birds of Prey. I just have problems with, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just here's an example of when it works versus where it didn't necessarily need to be present. But overall, like I said, I love this book. This show. It shows you how malleable the Harley Quinn character is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could put her in a PG-13 or a PG animated series like Batman the Animated Series. And also put her in something like this, or put her in something like Suicide Squad, which is kind of like the in-between. And how the character, each version has, it makes its own mark and takes its own piece of the character that they want to use, but each is a valid interpretation of the character. And like I said, this is one of my favorite animated series from DC in the last few years. So I 100%, if you haven't watched it, watch it. And if you're getting ready to watch season 2 while we're all required to be at home, either revisit the whole season or at least the last few episodes to jump into season 2. But I think we've covered just about everything, Ryan. So why don't we go ahead and give an overall rating for the show as a whole?
I would give it like, or what's our scale? It's been a while since we've done
that. I mean, you want letters or numbers, whatever you want. You dictate.
I think letter grades may be easier for me to. I'll give it a B+. You know, this is, you know, like I said, you know, Titan, when it comes to the DC Universe app, original stuff, Titans first and then this. I like Doom Patrol. It was a little, I liked it more than you did, Adam, but I still thought it was a little too out there. Mm-hmm. I kind of was hoping for something a little straightforward, but maybe that's because I don't know much about Doom Patrol and it's always like this. I don't know. And I haven't seen Swamp Thing yet, so my judging is limited. You know, we've had so many fantastic versions of Harley Quinn ever since she was introduced on the animated show. I am eager to see more of how she's handled in the Birds of Prey TV show. You know, I still gotta, you know, start watching more.
We're still gonna do that.
You know, the fantastic versions from the Arkham video games, and, you know, Margot Robbie at the movies, and now Kaley Cuoco here on the TV show. And she's, you know, she has made Harley Quinn her own. She has put her own stamp and done things differently than what Tara Strong did in the show or Robbie is doing with the movies. I just wish that the season was longer.
Yeah, but that's fair.
Because I'm greedy, and I'm kind of getting the feeling that this whole season 1, season 2 thing really probably should have been season 1A, season 1B, with, you know, how quick it's kind of being released. I don't know. Maybe there's another reason why.
They're calling it season 2, but I think it's 1B.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm going to be looking at it, because it's,
because typically animation goes 25, 26 episodes, so.
And they've been working on this since 2018, I think.
I think so. So I think it's more of a case of, like I said, season 1, 1A and 1B. Speaking of A's and B's, you gave it a B. Right?
I gave it a B+, yes.
B+. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a solid A. Because, like I said, I knew that I wouldn't... These kind of shows are tricky because sometimes that kind of over the top aspect of it works for me. Sometimes it doesn't with animated shows. In this case, it worked in spades, and I just love that it's a unique, different, but also in keeping with the core of Hardy's character. So it made me give a shit about Kite Man. So when you can do that, you deserve a high grade. So all that considered, it's an A from me. That's all we got for this week. Ryan, if people want to keep talking about this cool nerdy stuff to distract themselves from all the other stuff going on, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at the Amazing Rye Guy.
Right. That's what I meant, on Twitter, not in real life, because we're supposed to stay apart. So no stalking Ryan.
Social distance. Yeah. Social distance. Yes.
Yeah. For now, until this thing is over, no stalking Ryan.
And even after this.
Yeah. That's just no stalking. Don't be doing that shit. That's true. If you want to interact with me, you can. Please do, because man, it's fun to talk about other stuff that's not the serious stuff going on outside our window for every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do that on Twitter, you can at @Adam_LeafsFan. If Facebook is more your style, we have a Multiverse Musings Podcast Network Facebook page. You can ask for admittance into the group, and Ryan, myself, or Travis will add you, and we can pick up the conversation there. Until next time, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope that it provided some distraction. We want to remind you to please keep yourself safe through these times, and to stay within the Gotham City limits. Until next time, we'll see you in the same bad time. Same bad time.
Same bad time.
So long, everybody.
Take care.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman!